have your Bible, will you turn with me to Genesis chapter 30? Thank God for His presence again. Hallelujah. It's good to... I said on the way to church this morning, it's exciting and fun when you go to church and you don't really know what's going to happen. You know, so many times we plan God right out of the service. But here at Abundant Life, it's just like, you know, whatever. If I get to preach, great. If I don't, great too. Somebody taking up their offering may preach. Somebody singing may preach. Somebody, we got 10 preachers in here. So we have to watch out, amen. Maybe we'll turn all 10 loose at one time. Give them 10 microphones and let them all preach the same thing. Let's see how much you get out of it. All right. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 30, and then we're going to move to Daniel chapter 3. Welcome everybody here today. Genesis chapter 30. Look at verse 43. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and manservants and camels and asses. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. The man increased exceedingly. Daniel chapter 3. It's about probably in the middle of the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah. When you find it, say glory to God. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 28. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This morning I want to talk about, it's my time now. It's my time now. Many of you during the week of breakthrough empowerment got your breakthrough. Many of you left the area of bondage that you had been in so long and moved into freedom. And so today it's all about you. All of us can gather in, but it's all about you that broke through. No longer are you sitting by the sidelines looking at somebody else break through. You have broken through. And today we want to cheer you on to victory. Yeah. See, this thing is not a one-day process. It's a lifetime of living. Yeah. Not something we get on in our service one time. It's something that we live. And God has a plan for all of us this morning. It's our time now. Turn and tell somebody, it's my time now.
It's my time now.
It might have been your time yesterday, but it's my time now. We are in a season of blessings and promotion.
Hallelujah.
Now, you hear that often when you go to churches like this. Our name of our church is called Abundant Life. We talk about and preach about the blessings of God. We talk about the abundant life.
Yes.
And you hear it often that we are living in a time of blessings. And sometimes we let it go right over our head, but we're going to go through the Bible. We're going to look at what God's saying today. God has a fresh word today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The good thing about it, I could preach the everlasting gospel today. I got about 20 pages of notes, but I am hooked into a clock. Ain't you glad? It's a countdown clock. We have that because CDs can only have so many minutes. And if you run over those minutes, you cannot reproduce a CD. So everybody that comes preaches here has the same amount of minutes. So we'll be going home today at the right time. Say the right time.
Right.
Now what he does after the preaching's up to God, all right? But far as me, I won't preach the everlasting gospel. We're in a season of blessing and promotion. The Bible says that man, the man was Jacob, the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants, and camels and asses. And the Bible says that the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It's our time. 2010 moved us into a new era. The Bible talks a lot about numbers. The Bible, numbers in the Bible mean things. When you come to a year that ends with a zero, that means it's a new decade. Something is beginning new. If you'll check back on your life, every 30 years or more, there's a change in your life. There's a shift in your life. This year is a year of shift for us, people of God. This is the year of zero. This is the year of breakthrough. Cycles are broken. Cycles began. This is the first year of a decade. So that means this year is a first fruit year of the next 10 years. God requires us or implies that we are to give a first fruit offering of our lives, of our tithes, of our time, talents. And this is the year that we begin in 2010 to give our life afresh and anew for this decade. Some of us have, some of us haven't. Some of us have digressed. Some of us have went forward. But you need to understand this year is a special year. 2008 was new beginning. 2009 was the year of abundance. And this is the year of first fruit year. What we do now, this year, determines how we'll live the next 9 years. Now some of you, that's too much for you to handle. Because some of you don't believe that God is really involved in your life as much as He is. You might be one of those who's tiptoeing through the tulips in the middle of May. You may say, I don't believe in all that stuff. But there is a significant thing going on in this year of 2010. Amen. This is a season that is hid from most people. Yeah. It's a season that you can only see through the eyes of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Don't turn there because we got a lot today. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can't receive this season in the natural. You have to receive this season in the spiritual. You can only receive this season by faith. Faith says, I believe the Word of God, regardless of what I see. Right. Amen. Now you're not going to be able to see this season or experience this season if you leave here and you go home and you turn on CNN, ABC, CBC, Fox Network, TNT, NNNT, whatever T's they are, N's. You won't be able to see this season because you're trying to understand this season by your natural mind. And your natural mind is not going to let you see blessings and promotions in times like this. Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We are people of faith, and so we don't look at what's around us and determine our outcome. We look under the Word of God and what He said about it. How many of you know it's important what God said about it? Amen. Now, he may not have attended one of the colleges that you listen to people who talk from that kind of college or that kind of school or anything else or high or low people. God is God. And when he speaks, we need to listen. Amen. Turn and tell somebody, you need to listen for God. I believe him. Say that with me. I believe him. This year will be a year of success or defeat. It depends on what you are looking at and what your expectation is in this new decade of time. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, It's always a matter of choice. Always a matter of choice. At this time in my life, I choose to look for life. God told me to. He said, if you're going to choose one or the other, choose life. I guess you know we was a little dumb or something. Choose life. Help me preach this morning. Turn and tell somebody, choose life.
Choose life.
Doggone it, choose life. Wake up, choose life. What kind of life is God talking about? He's talking about the abundant life. Life to the full and to the overflow. It's always a matter of choice. Amen. This is a season of time. A season is always an appointed time. It's appointed. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. Listen to me. I'm going to preach and teach. You'll know something when you leave today. Everything has an allotted span of time. Everything. Every purpose has its due date. There is an appointed time for every activity. The events of our lives are not accidental. They all have appointed times and seasons. Whether you believe it or not, you are here at the appointed time of your life. That's far out, man. Some folks think they can't hear God. You heard God this morning. You are at the right place. At the right time. It's a matter of choice. You could have chose anywhere in the world to be today, but you wound up right here. So you were at an appointed time in your life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Some folks think you got here on your own. I don't believe that. I look back on my life and see where God had brought me. And my grandma used to say that He brought me a mighty long way. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of you just stumbled in here this morning. That's all right. God got you here. It's an appointed time for your life. Ecclesiastes goes on to say, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. There is an appointed time for everything, but limited opportunity for every activity. Let me say this. A time for everything, but limited opportunity. So that means we have to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. Hallelujah. Amen. One reason that some of us are not blessed is that we did not take advantage of the opportunity that God brought our way. Can I hear amen? I'm going to preach this morning, all right? I'm going to take the prosperity message and try to clean it up a little bit. All right? It's all right to wash your car once in a while, right? It's all right to take the message of faith and kind of clean it up every once in a while. I'm going to clean it up this morning. See, we think blessings are gifts from God. We think blessings are gifts from God. Blessings are already been given. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All God's gifts have been poured out into life. Because we've been taught this, we think God's going to show up like a genie and poof, there he comes. Money flows down from heaven. Don't get quiet for a while. Money just shows up. God just shows up and shows out when He gets ready. That's what we've been taught. that somebody sooner or later is going to come by and pay all your bills off. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody, you waiting and you driving and you just waiting for the gift of a car. Somebody's just going to come by and give you a car. It happens sometimes. But sometimes we spend so long looking for the gift, we miss the opportunity for an overflow blessing. Life is about opportunities, not about gifts. Listen to me, church. God doesn't just poof in your life. You don't rub Him up when you get in trouble and say, "Ooh, get up, God." Get. No, it don't work that way. There are opportunities. God makes a way for you to escape your situation. It's called an opportunity. Say it with me. Oh, that's where the rubber meets the road, don't it? That means it puts a little bit of you, put a little bit of your process and your breakthrough and your success in your hands, don't it? Now let me just solve this right here. It's not my message. People say God's in control. I'm going to tell you something. God is in control of His kingdom. He ruleth over all in His kingdom. If God's in control, then God's got this world messed up. God is not in control. He's in control of what you let Him be in control of. He is in control of whatever you are in faith in your life. God will control it. We spend too much time waiting on gifts and miss great opportunities. We wait on somebody to buy a dress for us or a suit for us and bring it by our house. When there are opportunities, when people call us and say there's a 50% sale at Dillard's, they got a big sale down there, Blue Light Special, Kmart. You want a tip? I tell you, there's Blue Light Specials at Kmart. That's a tip. We don't get excited, but that's an opportunity. You get the dress half price, you still win. But you're waiting on somebody to flop a gift in your life, and sometimes we wait too long. I'm not against giving. I'm not against somebody giving me a suit or pants or shoes. Everything I got on has been given to me this morning. I thank God for that, but there are opportunities available to us that we still win if we'll just do it. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
See how narrow our thinking. Our narrow thinking gets us in trouble. We're lazy. We want God to do it all for us. And there's people who won't go to church today because they're mad at God because He didn't do it for them. Let me give you a truth right here. Take this home with you. You don't hear nothing else. God ain't doing nothing else. He's already did it. Jesus' blood was sacrificed for us. It's sufficient for our past, present, and future sins and our life. The grace has been poured out. What we need to do is wake up and take advantage of the opportunities in life. There is a time for everything but limited opportunities. We can't pray for prosperity and go home and go to bed. You better get out of that sense of depression. That's not faith. You lay in the bed and you get hungry for long, and you'll be able to sleep 24 hours a day because they're going to cut your lights off if you stay in the bed. Is it all right if I preach to you today? Opportunities. It's now my time for opportunity. Just like giving this morning, it's an opportunity for prosperity. Some people participate. Some people don't. I can just tell you about my life. I thank God I participated, and where I'm at today is because I participated in the opportunities all my life since the day I took my first job. I made my first $5. My first 50 cents came in to the offering. And I can dare say, with all the things that happened in our life, Penny, I verify this, even when we made less money, we never tithe less. We got to a certain plateau in our life. When I took a job that was less, I still tithe what I tithe. And some folks think I ain't never worked. No, well, hello, God. Thank you, Lord. He's oh, Paula, Paula, shame on you. Point at Paula and say, shame on you, Paula. You better answer. It might be God. Let them hear what I'm saying. This is your day. Turn it on. Let them hear the message. Amen. They called the right time. The appointed time. Amen. And I'm not talking about tithing. I'm not preaching on money. I'm talking about opportunities to get in on the plan of God. Opportunities. Brother Willie is taking an opportunity to come and get in on what God's doing. Next time he comes in late, send him in the back, please. Amen. Write this down. God offers challenges. Challenges to challengers. God offers challenges, opportunities to people who will take them. Brother William, I'm talking about how people are waiting for God just to drop a $100 bill in the pocket when God might be wanting to open the door for an opportunity. Amen. You know, God can give you a new job, which is an opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What better time for a challenge in the times that we live in? These are challenging times. You know, we don't have our head in the sand. There are people in our church at the verge of losing their home. I've got preacher friends. I told my wife I had the money. I just could not keep it in the bank when I know my friend is losing the home that he's been in all his life. There are people here sitting here about to lose their homes, and they, I mean, you may be in good shape, but there are many people who are not. It's challenging times. And we need not to be slowful on opportunities that God brings our way during these times. Hey, you don't need a miracle when everything's going well. I'm talking about this right now. I'm talking about right now. 2010 at 11:40, August the... Wait just a minute. 15th. Right there on my watch. I'm talking about right now. I ain't talking about last week, tomorrow. I'm talking about right now in the time we're living in. Why would you... You wouldn't even get excited over a miracle if you don't need one. That's why this year is so special. Many of you haven't ever needed a miracle in your life. Many of you have always been prosperous in your life. You never had to ask anybody for a dime. Some of you might be those self-made people, too proud to ask. But I'm telling you, turn on the TV and look what happened in Atlanta the other day for people to get a voucher for rent. All those so many thousand people there for 13, I think it was 30,000 people. People are hurting. It is a tough time in the world.
Yeah.
Now is the best time for a miracle.
Yeah.
Right now is a good time for some of you to reach up and get a miracle from God this year.
Yes.
Amen. It's hard to recognize a financial miracle when your pocket is full of money. You wouldn't recognize it. It's nice, I thank God, when He blesses us when we have, but it's a real real big difference when you don't have and God blesses you. You're able to recognize God doing something in your life. That's why it's an important year. This has never been here before. Wake up, people. Our nation has never been here before. Life has changed. I'm just about to get a hold of that. There's a generation that won't know anything but the fast life. They won't know about the good old days when the car wouldn't go but 60 miles an hour. When the speeding ticket was $10. Got a few of them in my day. We got a generation that all they know about is fast food eating. I thought about it. I thought, you know, I'm having trouble realizing that we're the nation and the church and the people have moved. It's and somebody says, well, we believe in to get that back. I don't know if you ever get back where you can just have a revival and people show up because Jesus is in the house. I'm believing there's a generation come that will. But you got all these things. You got to have politics. I'm trying to tell you, I thank God I'm on my way out one day. I got 10 good more years. I'll be here. But life has changed. We've moved from not locking our doors to having padlocks on our doors. You know I don't preach bad stuff. I'm just bringing in reality what this year is about. You need to know this is an important year in your life. Nowhere in your life has it ever been more important than right now. I said right now. You can't live off yesterday's blessing no more. You can't. We got a generation never seen a move of God, never genuine. We have seen God in His presence. We have seen fire on the building. We have seen smoke in the building. We have seen drunken sobered in a moment. We've seen miracles of arms and legs and blind and deaf. I've seen that, but there's a generation that have not seen the glory of God. Important. It's so important you were in the right place at the right time. The appointed time of God. And we cannot be slothful to play church. My daddy used to say, Lord, raise up a generation of preachers that don't have trimming on their drawers. That'll say it like it is. Keep somebody from going to hell. Keep somebody from living in hell. Just tell it like it is. God raised some people up to rear back and let the God speak through them and tell you to wake up in this time. It's an important year of your life. Never been here before. But thank God we didn't surprise God. God knew we'd be here. In His sovereign plan, God knows about today. Yeah. We didn't catch Him by surprise. Yeah. And He can change your darkness into light. He can give you a marvelous day today. Yes. If you take advantage of the opportunity that's before you. What would be the best time for God to bless you? You got it. Thank God He blesses all the time, but right now is time, a good time for God to show up and show out in your life. It's time like this when God can really show out. I saw that in our breakthrough empowerment meeting. Of course, I gave a prophecy from God, the wind would blow, many months ago. And you know, when you give words like that, you always have that human side about you, because I've been in dead revivals. I have been in a week long. I'm so glad when it was over in my own church. That's bad, but people didn't attend. Money wasn't there. Nobody reached out. Nothing happened. Boy, I don't like them kind of meetings. Do you? So we gave a word that God would show up in the first week of August and blow a wind of supernatural breakthrough through the church. And He did. He showed up and He showed out because you took the opportunity to be in that meeting. It's unheard of to stand in an off-the-call hour and 45 minutes waiting for a preacher to come and lay hands on you. You were waiting on your opportunity for your breakthrough. It's our time. I don't care where you came in on the ball game, or come in on wherever you at in this season of time. You can jump right in and get your breakthrough today.
Amen.
Many of us have got breakthrough that week. We need some more breakthrough in other areas. The opportunity is here today. This is a season not only of blessing and of promotion, but it's also a season of trouble. It is. I said we'd never been here before. It's a season of trouble. That's when God shows up the most, when there's a famine in the land.
Yeah, come on.
A so-called recession.
Yeah, come on.
That's what they say.
Right.
I don't live in this world's economy.
No, sir.
I laid up for this day all my life. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I'll have something to eat every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. My lights are going to be on every day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I've laid up in store for this troubled times. Because in troubled times, God shows up and shows out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Problem is, we're so busy looking at the trouble, we don't recognize what God is doing in places that we cannot see. See, your success and my success, Pam, is not determined on what I see.
That's right.
My success has already been determined by what He said.
Amen.
Well, if I lose my job, glory to God, God got a better job for me.
That's right.
Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor, you never lost a job. I walked off a job one time to do the will of God. I went from making $300 a week in the early 70s, which was a pocket full of money, supervising. In the early 80s, I walked off that job because the man didn't want me to go out and sing on the weekend. I wasn't even saved during that time, but I had enough of gut in me. He said, "You ain't going to stop me from doing the will of God." And went to work at Maxwell Home Furnishing in the credit department. Made $150 a week. I got $150 a week less. We just built a new home. A house payment went we were paying $75. A house payment went to $305. And I took a $150 a week cut. But blessed be God. God had a money stretcher.
Yeah.
And He stretched our money. Amen. And we made it through those tough times of life.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
When I came here 14 years ago, I worked three jobs while I came here. Until somebody said, "Pastor, you don't need to be working three jobs. I'm going to pay your salary every week for you to pray."
Hallelujah.
So I quit all three jobs and He paid me to do nothing but prayer. And let me tell you something, I ain't missed a week yet. So it don't matter what it looks like. It matters what He said about it. He said He supplied all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But see, I didn't lay in the bed and tell my wife, what are we going to do? I don't believe people. I don't. Oh, I shouldn't get on to this, but I might as well say it. How in the world can anybody live in America, U.S. of A., and not make some kind of money? If you take it day by day, if you make $500 a week, say you made $500 a week. If you get up on Monday, you don't have a job, find some way to earn $100. Lord, you can cut a couple of grasses. You can go pick up some bottles. You can clean somebody's garage out. You can do two or three things. You can wash some cars and make $100. That's $100. You got $100 for that day. Next day you get up. Well, I'm going to go down a little bit further on the road. I go down and ask them people, can I clean their garage out? Can I wash their car? Can I cut that grass? Can I sell some this and sell that? I mean, you can pick up stuff. And oh, I don't know how I got on. I'm trying to tell you how to get a business started. I know what I'm talking about. Take it day by day. You can make money in America if you seize the opportunities that avail you. But you can't do that laying in the bed saying, oh me, where is God at? Why ain't he showed up and done everything Pastor Mike said he would do? Poof! He's there. He'll take care of me. No, he won't. You know, sometimes God opens a door for you and lets you in on an opportunity that will change your life forever. That's what it's all about. Opportunities. Say opportunities. I got to move on. Troubled times for a child of God is opportunity time. That's right. That's going to mess with your mind because you can't understand that. Because you always want God to deliver you out of your trouble. That's a mentality we got. Like I said, God's everything but what he is and who he's supposed to be. We've made him a God unto ourselves. Really quiet now. And if you made him a Santa Claus God, you're waiting on him to bring the gifts. If you made him a genie God, you're waiting on him so you can rub him up and he poofs and he does everything a genie does. Or have you made him the God that he says he is? That he, whatever you put your hands to do, will prosper? Whose hands? Put your hands up. Whose hands?
Yes, sir.
See, I want you to be shouting when this year ends. I want to have the biggest celebration when this year ends of how God brought us through the troubled times.
Come on.
I don't want you sitting here by the end of the year and saying, what happened? There already is a stirring in a lot of churches, a lot of mega churches. There's a stirring because they still broke.
Yeah.
They still poor. They tired of sending their money to the Preshaw man. I'm going to tell it like it is. I don't have to send nobody no money under the Preshaw to get to God for me. I can walk up boldly to his throne and make my petitions made known. I don't have to pay no man to get in line for a blessing of God. Click, turn it off. They'll have their heyday right now. But I want to have a heyday the rest of my life. Yeah. We got to learn that when we step Christ, our thinking's reversed. In trouble time, God shows out. All through the Bible. Isaac was in a land, we just heard about it. Last week, Isaac was in a land with two famines. Famine of his dad, now famine of him. But he sowed in the famine and reaped the hundredfold.
Yeah.
He took the opportunity.
Yeah.
He didn't look around and say, then where am I going to eat? What am I going to do with my cattle? What am I going to do with all my goods? He took the opportunity. He gets to take the opportunity. I'll never forget that. Long as I live. Changed a lot of things in my life. I get to give. I don't got to give.
That's right.
I have get the opportunity to be on God's plan of success. Now see, some of you ain't there yet, but this is what the message is about. It's a message for you to get in faith so you can be translated from your situation. Say No greater time in my life, even than Jimmy Carter days. I owned a business in Jimmy Carter days, daycare business. All the daycare centers in town didn't have no children. The meals went on short time. People kept their children at home. I owned a daycare center, and we had to, you got to have money. It was tough those times. I borrowed money at 28% interest. I know what it is to make payment. Every 28 cent out of every dollar had to go to interest, then principal. We lived through it. People, listen, let me just talk to you a minute. People get so concerned about a recession. I would dare say that 90% of all the people here in this place have always been living in a recession. If not 95%. Never got no money. Can I preach a little bit? You never got no money. You ain't had no money. All your life you've been broke. What's the difference? What is the difference? You ought to know how to stretch money today. You've stretched it all your life. You stretched it all your life. I know what it is to cut your light bill and pay a little here and call them on the phone and ask them, can you pay the next part next month? My wife, if you don't know how to do that, she ought to write a book, how to keep your light bill, lights on, during famine. How to keep your water on, during famine. My goodness. My wife had those numbers written down all, and she'd tell them, I'm going to be there with $50, and it didn't come about. She'd call them on the phone and say, I'm sorry, I'll be there tomorrow with $50. Most of us have been living recession all our life. Why are we afraid of this? Why are we upset with what's going on? It's just a season. It will pass. But this is a season to grow in God. This is a season to take opportunity. This is a season to get up and get out and witness. What better season is it for God to pour His love and His favor out on us as God's children and for us to go through this so-called recession with money in our pocket, being able to do the things we ought to do so the world can look at us and wonder, how in the world can you do that in a recession? We built this church. This recession didn't start this year. The so-called recession started in 2008. Just study it. How did we build this building in the midst of a recession? We believed God. We took the opportunity. We started with plans in our hands with no money in the pocket. We walked around with those plans, laid them on the altar, spoke to them. Nobody knew about it. I waited till the day that God said, now is the appointed time. Now is the time to break out and to build the building right in the midst of a recession. Oh, take the opportunities. Quit being pitiful. Quit walking around like you don't have an answer. Jesus. Walking around like you lost your mind. You don't have a mind. You got the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ says, I'm going to meet every need you have. It ain't a time for us to fold down, wonder what we're going to do. It's a time to plan, to grow. This is a time to plan. Well, look at the church. We're growing in the recession. I took a commitment many, many, many years ago. I'd not get up and beg for money. There'd be no chickens die here for the gospel. There'd be no hot dogs sold for the gospel. They sure ain't gonna be no yard sales here for the gospel. I made a commitment to God that we'd walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. What better time? It's for God to bless your socks off. But you got to seize the opportunity. You can't lay around on the bed and be pitiful. You got to walk out like Pam did when she didn't have a car. She'd walk out, or a piece of a car, walk out on her yard, her little patio in her house. She got a hold of being like a king to prophesize over his kingdom. She walk out every day and said, I'm believing for a Cadillac. I'm believing for a car. I'm believing for a Cadillac. And it wasn't long one day there was a Cadillac sitting in the front of your house. You didn't pay for. I ain't going to tell you her life story. Maybe one day she'll write a book. But it's bigger than that. It gets better, bigger, better. Say bigger, better. I tell all my business, but I can't tell all hers. What better opportunity than now for a miracle? But you can't have your miracle with your pitiful little moaning and groaning. You've got to rise up and see who you are. And see, listen. One day, when you finally realize that you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm His property. And what kind of God would let His property get all messed up? What kind of God would let me fail when He's my Father? Ooh. Oh my. What a time for a miracle. What greater time for a miracle than when you're so sick nobody can help you? When everybody's giving up on you. Been there, did that. When they walk away and tell you, can't do nothing for you. Or they tell you, if I do something for you, let me tell you what's going to happen, A, B, C, D, F, G. I've been there. When it all said and done, there was no A, B, C, D, F, G. There was a miracle that took place. I'm happy for this season.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I'm growing.
Yes, sir.
I got things I got to do. I have limited time. I know you don't like to hear that. I've lived my life. I'm 61. If I live 61 more years, I'd be 122. Good Lord of mercy. Some people say I want to live that long. I want to live long as needed. Because if I'm needed, God will give me the strength to do what I'm needed for. But I'm on the way out, man. My whole attitude has to change. I'm living. I've got to begin to live in heaven. Now. I think it's hypocritical to live your own life, and when you die, you got to be brought into church, and somebody got to say a couple of good words over you, and they put you all up in heaven. And if you was alive, you wouldn't be in church. If you was alive, you wouldn't dare walk down. You wouldn't even talk about Jesus. Oh, I know I done got off my subject, but I don't want to have that hypocritical life. I want to be getting ready right now. This is a dressing room up right now for my life to begin to be who I am in the Lord.
Yes.
To look for my precious time coming. And right in the midst of this troubled, stormy year, God pours out His blessing. What better time than to call this time your time? Your time. Brother Willie's getting old himself. He don't want to live the rest of his life without a woman. Is there any available women out here for him? I believe you'd do better if you let me pick them. You want to get up and profile a little bit, Brother Willie? He still had vision dreams, man. He going all over the world. He's older than me. He's ready to roll. He's ready to pray all night long. Y'all saw him in action. He's not looking at his circumstances and what's around him and how old he is. Oh, Lord, he's looking for the opportunity. He's available for a miracle every day of his life. Hallelujah. You can't, whoop, 7 minutes. You can't look at your, if you're a child of God, you can't look at your circumstances and determine your outcome. Unless you're walking by sight and not by faith. You can't, if you're a child of God, walking by faith, you're not supposed to look at your circumstances and determine your outcome. Your outcome has already been determined. Listen. Listen, Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So your outcome is determined by what God said. He's going to deliver you out of all of them. Even in this troubled time. Well, you just don't know, Pastor. I don't. I know what he said, though. Yeah. I sat before you life or death. Choose life that you and your offspring may live, your seed. It's a matter of choice. Is this a time of discouragement or a time of opportunity? Depends on how you look at it. Is it the time to be broke or make money? Depends on how you look at it. You'll never get a job going around saying, I can't get a job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll never get a job. I'm too old to get a job. I'm too lazy to get a job. I'm too ugly to get a job. I'm not going to get a job. Everybody get a job but me. You know, if I had a wooden leg, I'd have termites. It's just me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Sometimes I wish the Lord would turn me loose and let you see how somebody can make some money in this world. That ain't afraid to take the opportunities to walk out on a limb, you and God, and watch God. These people, Jeff and Pam and them, saw me do it time after time after time. When I came here 14 years ago with four people and broke, busted, and disgusted, driving a car, the windows wouldn't roll up in, no air conditioning. I took a chance. I left my home, my job, my family, my church, my friend. I came here with an opportunity to see God move and look around. God moves when you seize the opportunity. Yes, there were some tough times. Yes, there were times we didn't think we were going to make it. Yes, there were times when I wanted to run to Florida, give me a sick pack of Coke. There have been many times I wanted to do those things, but something inside of me said, stay. You're a man of faith. You got to walk it out. I remember Brother Willie was preaching years and years ago before I ever left Griffin. He was walking and preaching in Brother Larry's church. He stopped by me and he looked at me and said, it's time for you to leave the church. You remember that, Willie? I got so mad at you, I got in my car that day. I said, who do you think he is telling me to leave that church? I should have went home and told my daddy on him. My daddy would have killed him. Leave my daddy? I suffered for that for many years till one day it was time. It was time for me to take another opportunity. I'm not preaching something that I haven't done. It's hard to leave family. It's hard to leave somewhere you've been all your life. It's hard to be asked to leave. My daddy would have never had to ask me to leave if I'd left when the Lord told me. If I took the opportunity when the Lord told me. But I was slothful. I was afraid. I wasn't the man that I needed to be. But when I took the opportunity, God took me from the pit to the palace. Amen. It's a season. It's your time to seize the opportunities. 3 minutes. Okay. 3 minutes. Oh, yeah. I'm skipping. If you want the notes of this, some of you need to get this thing. Get it all. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, well. Hey. My goodness. Listen. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You heard me talk about in the last days, in these days, the days of Habakkuk says there be a shaking in the nations. And then he said, during the period of shakings in the nations, 2010, they're being shook all over the world. Everything's changing in every nation. He said, in the same time, in Habakkuk chapter 2, at the same time, I will pour out my glory in my house. And right under that, his silver and gold is mine. That's the glory he's talking about. He's going to make a transfer into his house. The church ain't going to be poor no more. Say that with me. Church that's poor ain't poor no more. But he's got to have people who see the opportunity. You see, in the Old Testament, the glory came from heaven.
Yeah.
Manna came down, type of glory. But in the New Covenant, the glory is inside of us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." This is what the Message Bible says. "And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters into our lives and we become like Him." That's the purpose of God. In this troubled time. Is that we be filled with His glory. So we'll be transformed right in the midst of troubled time into what Jesus would be doing today. What would Jesus do today? What would Jesus be doing with all the people that lost their jobs and changing jobs and losing houses? What would Jesus be doing? Whatever He would be doing, it's what we need to be doing. And it's the glory that will fill. See, we here again, I got to close. 27 seconds. I got to close. I really got 5 more minutes, but we put it so hard-headed people come in and won't preach the everlasting gospel. I know exactly how much time I got. Listen. Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. We're talking about opportunity. Here's the bottom line. For some reason, in our mythology, in our faith building, we got the idea that we've got to plug into something for all this to work. We got the mentality, if I can just get to church today, I'll feel better. Nothing wrong with church. If the pastor, if he just preached one of them wham-banger sermons and just get me all excited, I know I feel better when I leave. And you might feel better for a day. But when you understand, it's not something you plug into, it's something that's in you already. See, our generation got the extension cord mentality. You'd be surprised people who sit in churches because the pastor is rich. Only. They sit there because he's rich. He drives all these automobiles. I'm not talking to nobody. Just listen to me. You'd be surprised churches are filled because they're looking at the pastor and we taught this that it comes down through me. Listen to me. You can be more richer than anybody in the world. You don't have to be up behind a pulpit to plug into what God says. He's already, Christ in you. I said, hear me what I said? Christ in you is the hope of your glory. It ain't coming plugging into a certain church. I thank God for churches. What we do here is teach you the way. We are not the way. All you churchy people, we are not the way. All you got your favorite little places, they're not your way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Plug into Him. And when you come in the house, you'll bring something in the house. And when everybody brings in something into the house, we'll go out and do the work of Jesus in the world. Get the plug-in mentality out. I'm talking to you. Nothing wrong with good preaching. Nothing wrong with a good church. But Christ in you. Until you see Him in you, you will never see Him outside of you. You understand? You're looking for God to pop out around you when God has already popped up in you. You got me? Take the opportunity. Quit plugging in. Sometimes church can be a disadvantage to you. It was to me, trying to plug in something that I trying to stay in a faith church that didn't believe in it. Everything I said, I had to fight for. Everything we did, we got ridiculed about. You get to where you can plug into God. I'll just say this. I don't have church membership here. Hey, how about that? I don't proselyte you to join this church. Come on down and join this church. You don't have that here because we recognize there's only one church in Coweta County. That's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at Coweta County. We're all one sheep. We're all in the same pasture. We're all the sheep of His pasture. So I'm not trying to twist your arm to join up and plug in. I'm trying to tell you, if you're a child of God, you already plugged in. You got the greatest thing in the world living inside of you. Quit coming to church to be pumped up. Come to church and pump the church up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hey, I want you to shout me down. I want you to try to stop me. I want you to try to stop me from preaching. You can't hear me. You're not going to shout me down. I got something inside of me. Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm already winning. I'm not trying to win. I am a winner. I'm not trying to be something. I am something. Christ in me, the hope of my glory. Now you're having church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is your time. Seize them opportunities. You pray to God give you ideas. You stay up. We're fixing to close. It's zero back there. Stay up. I'm telling you, I'm trying to encourage you. This is your time. We're not moved by what we see. There is opportunity. It might be a time you start your own business. I don't talk about that because I've started, I'll say, 2 day care, recording studio, farm, 4 churches. You add all. I'm not afraid to step out. You're talking to the wrong person. If you ask me, what should I do? Do whatever you're supposed to do without fear. But if your mentality is, it's such a troubled time. You're looking at too much TV, too much news. Look at your Bible. The Bible says when all these things are happening, look up. He didn't say for us to look down. Wars and rumors of wars and all these things, famines and floods. He told us to do this. He said, don't look down. Don't look at what's going on. Look up. Your redemption draweth near. Every breath you take is an opportunity to live, to show out, to show the world really who Jesus is. We're marked people. God has put His hands on us. We don't really understand what that is. We really don't understand what it means when the Father comes to dwell inside of us. The Creator of the universe chooses us to live in. We don't, our mind just don't even go there because we see all our rough edges and all our flesh. But it's Christ in me that makes me who I am. See, when Christ moved into me, there was a drastic change. Oh, God. You would not love me. You would not like me before Jesus. I cared nothing about humanity. I grew up and watched church people destroy my family, my home. My daddy never took me fishing. He never had time to take me a ball game. He was off always praying for somebody, delivering somebody. I spent my life with my mama. I hated church. I hated people. You robbed me of my life. But when Jesus moved into my heart, He took all that away. And He put in me a love that I cannot explain. I was in business before I was retired. I didn't have to work. I had a farm, a tractor, a go-kart, four-wheelers. I didn't even work. We kept the money and just do what we wanted to do. But I chose because Jesus moved in my heart. To shut the recording studio down that me and Pam bought. And me and her paid on for 7 or 8 years after I got called to preach. I just shut down all the worldly things. I sold my home, my tractors. I sold everything. And I didn't have to do that. I just wanted to, you know, get away from anything that I blessed myself with. I got rid of it all, gave it all away. We went to Bible school, come back and sold our home because Jesus moved into my life. How can He let me fail? How can He sit back now and let me suffer during this times of reset? He's constantly, if you listen, He's constantly telling you how to take opportunities to make a dollar here, a dollar there, feed your family, stay in your house, give you witty inventions. Many of you were slowful doing certain things and now you're paying for it. Now what you need to do is open your ears up to hear and take the opportunities God gives to you. You know, God can bring before you people who can pay your house off. But if you're laying in the bed, you might miss the opportunity the very day God sent somebody at the church to say, you know what, today I want to pay somebody's house off today. Who's got a mortgage today? Somebody raise their hand and say, I'm going to pay that mortgage off today. Hallelujah. But you at home, you got your head between your tails. You're not looking at God, the author, finisher of your faith. You're looking at your circumstances. And I'm telling you, it's not a time to be slowful. Listen to me. It's your time to be blessed. It's your time to prosper. You ain't seen nothing yet. Some of you, when you get blessed, you feel guilty about it. The Bible says that the Lord that, what's the Lord? Giveth well. The Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow. It's the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow. Some of you, when you start getting blessed, you have a sorrow with it. Listen, I'm telling you, I know I'm that way. I want everybody to be there. And unfortunately, I'm seeing that everybody ain't going to be there. Everybody ain't going to break through. Everybody's not going to get the blessing. But you can.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Religion will tell you when you get something new, you got to hide it. You get a new dress, some of you finally got enough money to get you a brand new dress. You start wearing it, and somebody said, oh, I like your dress. I got it on sale. Who cares? Whose business is that? Except you got sorrow with your blessing. I'm telling you, I'm asking, that's my breakthrough. I'm not going to be sorrowful for my blessing. Nobody was there when I drove that piece of car. Nobody was there when Minnie Penny lived in a roach-infested house. Nobody was there when we didn't have no... Our kids wouldn't let us take them in the car to school. We had to drop them off a block away when I was preaching prosperity. Nobody was there. So why do I care what they say now when I have a car, a good car, a good home, a wonderful church, and wonderful people? Oh, no! The blessing of the Lord make it rich in my life, and they add no sorrow to my life. You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, we got to go. Honest to God, I could preach till Jesus come today. An opportunity. Seize the moment. You're not going to get any more years like this. What you do this year builds in the next one. Some of you've been lagging behind. Get on your knees. Pray. Listen. It's important. Hear what the preacher said. I believe this with all my heart. It's one of the most important years in the history of our nation, in our church, and in our life. Seize your opportunities with God. I'd get closer to God now than any time in my life if I was you. I'd read the Bible more this year than any time you've ever read it. I'd pray. I'd talk to God. It's something about this year. It is a seed year. The first year of the decade is always the first fruit season. What you do now determines what you do the next 9 years. How many of you want to continue to live in the flop bucket? How many of you want to continue to live not enough? How many of you want to continue to live in the place you're wondering what's going to happen to your life? You know you ain't living right. You know you're not counted. You're not doing what God called you to do. You ain't saved a soul in a year. You ain't helped nobody. How many? You don't need to be living like that in this year. Amen. Hear me, hear me. Amen. Hear me. Step up to the plate. It's your time to bat. Amen. Get in the ball game. Amen. Your life depends on it. Amen. People around you depends on it. Every head bowed, nobody looking around. Nobody's saying nothing. We're going to give them an invitation. You don't see that much these days, but we have them here. Is there anybody saying...